Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
And we are up here tonight and we're doing episode 154. Let's get stupid.
We're going to get so stupid.
Insane Masonic conspiracy theories. We're not going to do any likes today. We're just going to get right to the business.
Yeah, we'll do twice the amount of likes next week.
We have enough dumbass ideas here that we can freaking pick apart. So we're going to start with, first off, how's your weekend so far?
My weekend was okay. Yesterday I came out to Worshipful Brother Perry's rehearsal for the upcoming Master Mason degree here at Morningstar Lodge. It's going to be great. A lot of people showed up.
Sorry, Perry.
What do you mean?
I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever.
I mean,
enough people showed up, man. We all played off of each other. He's got a good, damn good ritual cast. It's going to be a good degree.
I'm going to be in it, but I got my part because I've done it 1,000 times before, so
yeah,
I'm not too concerned about my part. I want to just say to the officers and who's ever being the master, who is it, Perry, for the second half?
Yeah, I think Perry's doing the second half, too. Yeah.
I'll tell you what,
He was doing most of the parts when we were up there rehearsing, so yeah, he's...
I am freaking super proud of Perry. He is kick-ass. Did he go through all the way through the lecture?
Yeah, I mean, he's still got a couple little things that he's working on, but he's doing the whole second half. We always had Marshall doing our second half, so it was like the masters never really had to worry about it. But he's on it.
The trick of it all is, if you flubble, roll with it.
Because
candidates don't know.
Yeah.
They're not.
It's hard to learn, too. It's hard to learn to do that. And if you do take, like, an accidental pause, then the prompter who knows that you missed that word is going to try to give you a prompt, and then you're all messed up, and it just keeps
snowballing. Do me a favor. If you're Lodge prompter, though, don't be prompting without a look.
Right.
Because that drives me nuts. When you're like, you take, like, a dramatic pause, and then the prompter's just like, bam.
Yeah.
And I know. Shut up.
It's kind of on you as the ritualist too to like talk to whoever the chaplain is or whoever the ritual person is or the prompter ahead of time and just be like, look, man, if I make eye contact, give me a word, one word.
Right.
Whatever your preference is, but you gotta establish that ahead of time, I think.
Definitely. And you know, I will say that I think that's probably the hardest ritual to learn in Blue Lodge. And I think in Masonry all in general.
The second half of the
second half of the MMs, it's a hard ritual to learn. And I think that's only second to none of the, second to the eminent commander of the Knights Templar degree.
Okay. So you think
I've done that too. I think being the eminent commander
is easier than the second half.
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. Because the middle chamber is just you just spewing. You just go, right?
Yeah. I think it's easier.
You jump on your bike and you just go, right? Whereas eminent commander, there's a pause.
Yep.
Then there's a prayer. There's a pause.
Somebody else has
there's
a prayer. See, I think those...
Pause, prayer. Like it's very
broken. Those are easier for me.
The pause and the breaks?
Yeah. Because like the long soliloquies and stuff, like that's where I get messed up. So
I think
everybody's got their own thing.
I think the only problem with me is... I don't want to get into the ritual of the Knights Templar, but there's breaks and there's an order, I guess you can say. There's an order of things that need to be done.
Yep.
And it's very hard to skip, miss, out of place one, potentially.
Right.
So
because they're all critical to
They're all critical to the storyline of the degree. So that's the only thing it would really kind of... To me, that's a little bit more difficult. The only thing I would say in contrary to that is it's easier to learn things in chunks. So when you have a pause where somebody else taking over, you can learn that first chunk And then you're like, all right, cool, I can rest here. So you'll learn that chunk and then move on to the next chunk of ritual.
And you have an automatic prompt, whereas with these like long things like the middle chamber, it's a series of paragraphs, right? And if you screw up in your head the order of those, or you're like at the end of one and you can't remember the first word or how the next one begins, then that's that messes me up. It was always easier for me to be like, well, as long as the other guy gets his word in, like when we're doing proficiency, as long as he finishes his... Like, I know where I'm at next.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. Teach his own.
Yeah, and everybody learns differently, and it's find a rhythm or a pattern that's good for you is what I think are my recommendation base. Because for me, it's just sitting down and just crunch time and just learn a chunk, perfect that chunk, move to, then add another chunk. And then what I'll do is once I start learning that second chunk, I'll do first and second.
I'll
third.
And then you got to go. Yeah, you got to keep building it.
Because what will happen is you'll learn the second one and then you'll get to the first one. And be like,
Or you won't know the order. Or you'll forget what comes after. Yeah, that's that screws you up.
And I also think this is why rehearsals are so important, because, well, you had said something along the lines.
Yeah, it was like, I forget what the term is, but it's like physiological recall or something like that. It's easier to recall if you're practicing in the same environment and the same physiological state that you're going to be delivering the ritual in.
Right, and doing it in your car.
Proven into a psychology thing. Doing it in your car, I mean, it's not bad, right? You got to learn somehow. But definitely make part of your practice coming up into the actual lodge room. Even if it's not during a rehearsal, you're just, you know, having somebody let you in so you can go up there and practice it a few times, it'll help out.
Well, not only that, but like take, for instance, the senior deacon. There's a lot of floor work involved in the middle of that.
Yeah, you got to practice that.
I mean, you can know the words by heart, but now you start stopping those words because you have to do floor work.
Yeah, you're doing a lot more cognitively too. You're like, okay, I got to keep my corner sharp and everything. And when you're doing that and you don't practice it and delivering ritual, you're probably going to be more likely to drop words and forget bits. So.
Correct. So, all right, what do you say? We're getting into stupid Masonic conspiracies.
Let's get stupid.
Let's start off with, I've only premised one for you, but we're going to go down the hall. So we're going to, you're kind of shooting from the hip here. You're going to be blind to this.
Yeah,
love that. Get out of my fantasy football one. And then let's go into Masonic conspiracy theories. And I mean, we don't got to go down the conspiracy theorists' laundry list, right?
Yeah. We've talked about a lot before. Some are more feasible than others, but I guess we're looking at the really ridiculous ones now.
Yes, we're looking at the ridiculous ones. And we'll start with, I mean, again, we've already covered New World Order. I think we've beat that to death, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll skip over that one. We'll go into religious. I mean, we've kind of already talked about that, but we all know that Freemasons worship Baal, Baphomet, Diod? Dajjal? D-A-J-J-A-L? Dajjal? Dajjal?
I don't even know what that is. Dajjal, yeah, maybe it's...
That's how you know we don't freaking worship him, because I don't know who the hell he is.
Yeah, I don't even know what religion that is.
Rahu. R-A-H-U?
Rahu.
Rahu.
It's a cool name.
I'm thinking like...
But I don't know who he is.
Well, I mean, when I read it originally, and I mean, again, I suck at saying things, but I instantly went Street Fighter.
Oh,
Ryu.
Ryu.
Ryu, right?
Isn't it Ryu? Yeah, it's R-Y-U.
Ryu. Right? That's him?
I don't
when he throws the uppercut?
I think that was Ken and who the hell was his partner in crime?
Right?
Maybe it was Ryu. It was Ken and Ryu, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both did those special moves. I don't know. I'm not a Street Fighter fanatic, man. But I do know that I don't worship any of those particular, you know, evil gods.
Correct. And this is just, I'm reading this off of Wikipedia, so you know it's true instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Freemasons intertwine various symbols and numerology into modern culture, such as corporate logos. That's a good one.
Really?
Apparently we do. One of the ones I've seen is actually people have made reference to, I'm not going to even pull it up because it's stupid, but one of them is the Gmail symbol.
Oh.
Looks like a Masonic.
Oh, it looks like an apron. Yeah, I mean, it also looks like an envelope. Guys, like some things can look like other things. And that's okay.
Oh, I've seen one that was the Apple App Store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the square and compasses. So we apparently own Apple.
And I've heard the Google G, like the G logo that they seem to use on everything. Because everyone knows what Google is. It's like, come on, guys.
You're interesting to myself. Like, listen, if Masons control Apple, I wouldn't have had a car a couple of weeks ago blow the transmission.
Yeah.
And it was held together by rust particles holding hands.
I wouldn't have this 5-year-old freaking Android phone. I think I would at least have an iPhone.
I think you could probably get a better sweater, too, just throwing it out there.
Shut up, man. This is like... Just because it's Kirkland doesn't mean it's not nice. Do you guys think that this is... I think this is a nice shirt.
He got his Marty McFly jacket on, too. I'm just saying. Hello, McFly.
Would you just fall off a ship? I like listen, man. I'm messing with my
puppy if the jacket. Flood ever comes again, like they're calling, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
Well, you know, I'm a Boy Scout. I like to be prepared. Busted in my wardrobe. Madre, I thought we were...
Listen, sorry. I got shitted on last episode, so...
Yep, you gotta find something.
Like I gotta that. Take my, you know, I gotta take my aggression out somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one: that the United States was founded by Freemasons who have interwoven Masonic symbols into American society, particularly in the National Seals, streets in Washington D.C., architecture, and the dollar bill. Indeed, several founding fathers such as George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, James Monroe were Freemasons. So blah blah blah.
Yeah. So I mean, can't deny that. I wouldn't take it too far because, of course, there's truth to every conspiracy theory. Like, we didn't put a pentagram in the streets of Washington, D.C.
No, but
I covered that.
I mean, Washington, we've said it before, Washington, D.C. set up as a grid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
like any
come on
city.
Now, any grid form, you could make any shape you want. You know, Mall of America being, or what is that? What's called the Mall of America?
I think it's called the Mall.
The Mall, whatever the hell is this.
Just the Mall. The Mall of America, I think, is that gigantic mall out in the Midwest.
Yes, okay.
It's just like the Washington Mall or something.
Well, the federal, whatever it is, the federal square, I guess you will.
If, like all those buildings, all those buildings were created, I mean, pretty close to the founding of the city itself. Right. So like they laid out all of the streets in a grid, but when you get to that particular area, you can't just cross roads. It would look like crap if you had all these monuments intersected by these roads. So yeah, they had to make some adjustments.
I mean, I know part of the theory of that is that it looks like the square and compass where the Senate building meets the Washington Monument meets the World War II memorial,
and if it does, so what? It was either intentional or it wasn't. And if it was intentional,
but
who
a lot
cares?
Understand though, the founding fathers didn't set it up like that because
they weren't around.
They weren't around when the World War II memorial was erected or the Thomas Jefferson memorial. So it blows that theory right out.
Yeah.
The best thing is I have my daughter over here who's clearly my fact checker today because I say something and she nods at me.
She's
and
like,
goes,
nope, wrong,
Dad. Dad, you're stupid. Shut up. You're just digging a hole.
You're showing the whole world how stupid you are.
You know what, though? That's fine, though. I'm actually glad that if conspiracy theorists are listening to this episode, right? Let's say they're like, oh, let's check this out. Let's see what they got to say about this conspiracy. And they hear how retarded I am. They're going to be like, yeah, there's no way that they're controlling the world. No.
This guy's a freak.
Not with this idiot as the host. No way. Nope. Not a chance. I mean, we got Marty McFly over here. He's ready to take off in the DeLorean. And
Great Scott. Hey, and also, if you happen to be listening to this and you're a conspiracy theorist, I mean, come back at us, right? If you think we're wrong, being as we are actual Freemasons about Freemasonic conspiracy, drop some comments on YouTube. I mean, that's what YouTube's for, is writing stupid comments. So,
right.
And again, I mean, ask us. We'll have a conversation.
Yeah. We're going to get into the real, real stupid one shortly. I'm just kind of covering the cover. Here we go. Here's where it gets heavy. You ready? This is for the stupid ones.
Yep. I am prepared.
Very stupid Masonic conspiracies.
That's a stupid theory.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Let's do it.
Quit fucking around. That the Freemasons faked the Apollo moon landings.
Wow.
And the Freemasons at NASA deceived the public to hide the Earth being flat.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm fairly certain that in an organization as large as NASA, there's bound to be one or two brothers among all of those scientists. Like one or two, right? Like in the 60s and 70s, I wouldn't see there being such a preponderance of Freemasons high up in the leadership of the NASA or, you know, hierarchy that they would be able to put together a massive conspiracy about how the Earth is shaped. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not really providing any evidence one way or the other, but it just doesn't.
So let's get
ring true to me.
Let's get the historical on this.
Yeah, let's talk about the actual moon landings.
Let's talk about, well, before that, let's go back. Yeah, okay. All right. So it was actually the Catholic Church, we could say, that believed, that put it out there that the world was flat, I would say, right? Because that was like...
Well, it was like the conventional wisdom of the time back before people were making measurements to disprove it.
But was it, though? Because if you go back to the Sumerians and the Greeks and some sort of the Roman Empire, they had philosophers. I love that, actually. Real quick, I just want to segue. You ever seen Dodgeball, a true underdog story?
No.
Where Ben Stiller's like, oh, you're a philosophizer now, right?
No.
All right, well, watch the movie. You'll see what I'm talking about. But anyway.
I'm sure it happened.
But anyway, like, you had philosophers that studied the stars. They studied the Earth and how it rotated and moved and other planets and things. So
Those measurements were made
right
back in, you know, those ancient times. I mean, there was the Middle Ages. I mean, we lost a lot of knowledge during the Middle Ages, and maybe that, I don't remember if that was one piece of knowledge that we lost.
We didn't lose it. Took over. It was suppressed.
Yeah, or whatever. Like, it was no longer part of the collective consciousness.
The Mayans, the Aztecs, the conquistadors came over and wiped them out. And they had extensive knowledge of the heavens and of the planet. And and even the Phoenicians, there's even stories of, I think Scott Walter actually did a whole one on the Phoenicians coming over.
Circumnavigated the globe and stuff.
So this is knowledge that was known way back when that was suppressed. Or, you know, didn't fit the
narrative. Yeah,
the narrative.
Yeah, I'd have to do more research on that. But yeah, I do remember there was a large piece of time there where people were like, "Oh yeah, it's flat."
So
even after it was
right. So you can't say. And then obviously, once we got modern technology, and I mean, we knew the globe. We knew that the I can't get on with the whole. I can't get on with the flat Earth theory. I just can't. Like I've read it. I've read it. I've understood their arguments, and I'm sitting there, and the whole thing was all the Earth is flat, right? And I'm sitting there saying to myself, like,
yeah. It's like a disc or some stupid thing. I don't know.
They're saying that it's flat, in that the I think one of the theories I heard was that the actual blue of the sky is actually an ice barrier to prevent us from getting off, and the
except we've gotten off,
but like. And then this might even tie into the whole, what the hell is the theory called? Where it's, I can't think up the theory right now, but it was
it has something to do with the sun?
No, it has something to do with, like, technology. Like, we're all in, like, what is that?
A giant, like, simulation?
Simulation, there you go. The simulation.
The whole matrix thing.
And that the sun is being controlled.
I've read a couple things that these flat earther people put out where it was like, you know, they tried to use science to explain how you could have a flat earth and still have everything that we observe.
Right.
And it's like, it gets so convoluted.
Right.
Now, there's this thing called Occam's razor.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have two competing theories, right? I mean, first of all, we have firsthand observation by freaking astronauts. But if we just throw all that out and say, like, those guys were all on acid or something, and say, all right, well, we have two competing theories here. Mm-hmm. Which one is more likely to be the truth? The simpler of the two is always more likely to be the truth. That's what Occam's razor says. So if you have to put together some, like, ridiculous, like, oh, physics doesn't actually work the way that it works. It only works here down on Earth, but everywhere else in the universe, it works differently. Mm-hmm. If you have to, like, bend the rules like that, then your theory's probably wrong.
Not only that, I mean, we've had spacecraft, satellites that have gone up to Mars.
Yep.
They've studied Phobos, Deimos, the two moons. They've studied Mars. There's they've studied the moon. Like, and this is all before man even got up there. What?
There's more moons than that, I think.
What?
Around Mars. There's more moons than that.
Mars? I thought I only had two, Phobos and Deimos. Oh. Fact check me, look it up.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure there were more.
Moons of Mars, Phobos and Deimos.
It only has two? Oh, man.
And I think...
I'm going to look so bad in front of my nerd crowd if I fuck this up.
And I think it actually
could have sworn it.
And I think their Phobos and Deimos actually mean darkness and fear or something like that. something along those lines. But anyway, but how do you explain that though? Like, okay, so other planets like Mars are round. Venus, we've studied, well, like, it's round, but Earth's flat.
I'm sure these people say, like, look, it's not observation if I can't directly observe it. Like, if I'm hearing somebody saying, I landed a
fear and dread.
Fear and dread. Oh, look at you. All right. That's You got this one up on me. We should go on Jeopardy. You would do much better in the science category.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah, go.
So there was a game on PC a long time ago called Doom.
Yeah, I remember
that's
that
how I know
too.
It. Because it was based on Mars, Phobos, and Deimos.
Really?
You swear to God. That's how I know it.
I never really looked into the backstory. I just blew away all
my knowledge off
of
video game.
Wow. Doom took place in like the Mars system?
Yeah. The first one, okay, so Doom 1 was on Phobos. Doom 2 was on Deimos. Doom 3 was Hell on Earth, and that's where it made it to Earth.
Right. Okay. Yes. Wow, I never really...
That was a creepy-ass game.
I don't remember there being any storyline to that game whatsoever.
There was a storyline.
Okay. All right. Well, you paid attention. I didn't.
I didn't pay attention. So anyway, getting back, I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but let's talk.
As we often do.
So we faked the moon landings.
Faked the moon landings.
Freemasons in NASA were trying to suppress that the Earth is flat. And we're also trying to say that we... This damn phone won't unlock. And we're also trying to say that we faked the Apollo moon landings.
Okay. Well, a few of our brothers have actually physically been to space, but correct. I'm sure we can't use that as any potential argument because they'll just say, well, of course they went to space. They just said that they went to space because they're Freemasons, duh.
So who's the one that was a Freemason? I'm sorry.
You had a few. You had Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin. Neil Armstrong.
I'm not 100% sure that Armstrong is, but I think he is. And there was definitely one other. Oh, man.
So
you know, this is why I should do research.
No, we got our fact checker right over there.
There's like several astronauts.
Anyway,
a couple of them were.
Who's the one who's always on Ancient Aliens, though? Right.
Which astronaut was always on Ancient Aliens?
Yes, I think that's Buzz Aldrin. That's the one we were trying to get on our show, right, Buzz?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean Buzz Aldrin was the one that we were trying to get in contact.
So Buzz Aldrin, okay, and I have to give my hats off to a brother right here. I gotta give a quick toast. So cheers, brother.
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin.
To you, Buzz Cheers. Aldrin.
To you. And I'll explain why right now. I guess he was outside doing some sort of oppressor or something, and a flat earther walked up to him and basically told him how he was lying, and he was all up in his face.
Oh, I remember this.
And Buzz Aldrin decked him.
Yeah, he punched amazing. Him in the face.
I'm like, I love you, Buzz.
He's like... Yeah, I mean,
your new nickname is Lightyear.
Just to have like ridden a rocket into space, come back, and had some like little, you know, kid tell you that you never did it. I would probably deck the motherfucker too. I was in like my 70s or 80s, and I was just like, I got nothing to lose. Let me just crap this dude one.
I swear to God, like if he was part of a lodge and they were like, well, he got in trouble for decking somebody in public. Should we press Masonic charges? I will be your lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
I will be your Masonic counsel.
Well, let's examine the circumstances here. Oh, he said that the Earth was flat. And I don't know if it wasn't the Earth was flat. I think he said something. It was definitely a faked moon landing thing. It was like, how does it feel to be a liar or something? And he freaking punched him.
Case dismissed.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's move on from that one.
Brother is reinstated.
I can definitively say that the Masons... I know we're making fun of this, but we can
also
say...
Well, I don't know that
we
really resolved anything there.
Well... I'll put a fork in this one, and I'll go by saying Freemasonry does not suppress anybody's belief in anything. You are allowed to believe in what, you know, with the exception of something that's cruel or evil. You can believe in whatever you want. You think the world's flat? It's great. Mm-hmm. Believe it's flat. We don't give a damn. You know, like that. Masons are entitled to have their own opinion. This isn't like some collective hive like we're Borg. Well, besides you.
For me, yeah.
This isn't some collective hive where you like have to believe in one thing or even one political party or one, you know, ideology, or like, we don't care. Like there's, it's so for to say that Masons would suppress somebody's belief or were suppressing like the flat earth theory, like we don't give a shit.
I'm sure these like really out there conspiracy theorists would just be like, well, that's just what they say in their PR release and stuff. Like they really want to rule the world. And then we can be like,
okay, right. Well, even if you would
got like, nothing there,
even if you want to take the whole, the Masons believe in cosmology or astronomy or whatever the hell. And we have that.
I mean, I believe in astronomy.
No, but I'm saying like we use that in our symbols and stuff. And that's like
their astrology.
Their form of suppression. Like it's not, I would say it's got nothing to do really with the stars or the moon or the any of that stuff. It's the lesson involved in it. Just like analogy, Scottish Rite bringing up a good old JC. Yep. We all need Jesus. Like, we don't care if you believe in good old JC or not. It's the lessons that were part of it. And you can drive, you can pull lessons. I mean, I don't have to be Muslim. I don't have to be Islamic, but there are lessons in that. Just like the Torah, just like Buddhism, just like Judaism. I mean, how many times have we quoted Confucius? Yeah. Or how many times have we quoted like Chinese? I mean, I quote Sun Tzu all the time, but that's war stuff. But you know what I mean? Like Buddha. I mean, there's quotes from every religion that you can take and use and apply to your everyday life. Yeah. You don't have to believe in one thing or another.
And most of the fundamental lessons in Freemasonry, and we've talked about this before, are derived from pretty much the collective tenets of all of the world's religions, right? Do unto others is a lesson that's taught in pretty much every world religion that I'm familiar with, except for the really crazy ones like, you know, Satanism and all that nonsense. But like these are kind of universal truths, right? They're universal ways that everybody should kind of aspire to live their life, their ideals, and Freemasonry derives from those.
Correct.
So we don't care what actual religion you are because you're probably going to be all right by our value system.
Right. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
This is where it gets nuts.
Okay, here's where we go really freaking crazy.
That the September 11th attacks were astrological in nature as part of a hidden war between Masonry as descendants of the Knights Templar in Islam.
Whoa. Okay, so hold on. So I'm a descendant of the actual Knights Templar.
We are descendants of the actual Knights Templar.
And we're fighting a global war against Islam.
Islam. Where, so it was a, an astrological, it was an attack.
And the stars are somehow involved.
Let me read this again. Okay. That the September 11th attacks were astrological in nature as part of a hidden, I mean, how do you even freaking combine those two? As part of a hidden war between Masonry as the descendants of the, hold on, I gotta do this real quick.
As the descendants of the Knights Templar
in Islam.
Yeah, I don't even know how to decipher that. I mean, I could get behind, like, so, okay, it's a war behind.
Let's pick this apart.
We'll start descendants of the Templars and the Islamic world. Like, I could almost make sense of that. And now, for some reason, like 9/11 itself is caused by that and also celestial alignments. Because why not? Let's throw that in there.
So,
frogs had some shit to
anybody,
do with that too.
If any of you guys are watching on YouTube, got anything for this one, please fill me in because I don't even know where to begin with this because this is like a two-part thing. Saying that the September 11th attacks were astrological in nature. What the living hell does that even mean?
And I mean,
like,
also,
what the shit? Like, how do you even... So...
They were perpetrated by a very kind of like small, tight-knit group of radicals. And
okay. I think
you, oh, you got it?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. This is a huge, like,
leap of faith.
Leap if I wouldn't even call it a leap. Like, this is a bungee jump without cord.
Okay.
But,
I'm ready.
So, the battle of, let me think about this real quick. There was a battle in,
Anki?
No. I'm going to the Crusades.
Anchor?
Not Acre. It not was the other battle. One. Okay.
Trying to think of all the Templar battles.
I'm bringing it up right now.
It sucks when I don't have my laptop here and I can't do research, man. I just look like an idiot, don't I? I just know how to Google things really well. I'm not actually smart, George. You've been calling me all the wrong things.
Battles in the Crusades. It was a battle in the Crusades. Mongizard. There we go.
See, I don't even know that one.
Battle of Mongizard actually took place on... I think it was 9/11, but I could be wrong.
September 11th.
I believe it was September. Well, I that's where they
1,200 and
say that the battle took place. It was 1177.
Okay, so I mean, like every battle had to happen on some.
Yeah, I could be wrong on this, but I know it was a significant date because I, again, I'm big into the Crusades and all that stuff, and I believe it was on. And I, of course, Wikipedia is going to screw me here because I've read it before, and it was either on. No, see, they're saying here it was 25th of November, 1177. Anyway, I could be wrong here. But I know that there was a battle that was fought during the Crusades, and it landed on
September
11th. September 11th. I can't remember exactly which battle it was. You guys can fact check me if you want.
Yeah, you can probably just Google battles that took place.
And this kind of, I came up with this.
September 11th.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Crusade. You'll probably find an entire laundry list of them, and you can create your own conspiracy theory about each one if you want.
Why am I doing this? I got my daughter over here. She could do all this stuff.
I have no idea why you're doing this.
Oh, wow. This just brought up Battle of Arsuf. There we go. The Battle of Arsuf.
That kind of rings a bell.
Richard of England, and he defeated. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. September 7th. Whatever. I'm not going to keep looking for this because you guys can Google this shit for yourself. But I know there was a battle on September 11th that the Crusaders actually, I believe, won.
And is that like the genesis of this conspiracy theory?
Well,
like
again, I don't know if that's what it is. I'm
pulling. Oh, okay. Oh, you're okay.
You're
doing your best to try to
leap of faith.
Right.
So like, so what was like September 11th? Like, oh, the Christians won back on this date, so we're gonna knock down the towers.
So freaking, the stars were, you know, like the universe. 2,000
years later, some crazy shit. Like,
okay.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what they even mean by that. And that conspiracy theorist, that it was an astrological in nature. What the hell does that even mean?
I can't explain their reasoning, then I mean, can't debunk it.
And that's
it.
Not even astrological. That's just kind of like, hey, this happened on this date. Let's, you know, let's go.
Right.
Fuck shit up on the same day. But whatever. And then the other part of this is that as a part of a hidden war between Masonry as the descendants of the Knights Templar in Islam.
Okay.
So.
What about all the Freemason brothers of mine that are Muslim? Like, what do I do about them?
Right.
Do they all want to kill me?
Right.
I don't think they do, by the way.
No.
They're great brothers.
Probably not. So. I guess here's where I can punch holes in this all day long, because there's no direct link between Masonry and the ancient Knights Templar.
No, scholars have tried, man.
It even says it. I mean, granted, you can theorize all day long, and I have on prior episodes where I believe
Scott Walter has been researching this for a while, like,
and he's a believer that we are descendants of the Knights Templar. I do as well.
Yep.
Here is where the problem lies. You have no paper trail that says, "Hey, I was a Knight Templar that became a Mason."
Yeah.
And you also have a huge time difference between when the Templars were put down. I think it was 11. No.
Think it was 12 or 1300s.
It was 13, 14 or something like that when Jacques d'Molay was.
There you go.
I think it was 13, 12 when they were originally arrested. I think Jacques d'Molay got on 14, 13 or
I mean,
so 13, 14.
I've read a few books on the topic that try to
13, 12. Yep, okay. That's when they were put down. The Freemasonry didn't get its rise
until
the 1700s.
Yeah.
Now you can theorize that Freemasonry was being practiced in the dark during that time.
Yeah.
But that's still a giant gap.
I mean, I've read a lot of kind of scholarly books and articles about that, and they're all kind of tenuous at best. And I I appreciate the work that all these scholars are doing.
Right.
They're trying to like trace that golden thread and see if there is any meat there, because there really could be.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, it's feasible. But I don't think. Like, based on the fact that we've found no definitive link, A, and B, like, the ritual and the lessons of Freemasonry are not directly analogous to what the Knights Templar believed in. Like, we're not defending the cross and, you know, stabbing non-believers out in the alley behind the building over here and stuff. Right. Like, that's not what we're about. So, based on those two facts alone, I think it's pretty obvious that we're not.
You also have
Freemason side of that particular
thing. You also have the other part of that as well. And you can go, if you want to go into the Crusader history or whatever, that you have to understand that the Knights Templar had their own secretive rituals. They went to church, but they had their own way of going to church. Like, they didn't do what everybody else did.
Yep.
So there are, you know, and they were also put down for heresy, and there were stories about this. And yeah, you could say, oh, well, they were under, you know, they were being tortured and everything. Sure, yeah, whatever. But there are many stories of the Templars intermixing and learning from the Saracens back then of, you know, hidden tales and mysteries and things that happened in the Middle East and kind of blending it into their own ritual.
Yeah.
So the thought that, and you have to understand, like, yes, the Crusaders went, the Templars went, they didn't go, they became Templars after the initial sacking of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now you're there, and they were there for, what, 100 years, I think it was, because it was 1098, they took Jerusalem, and they were there until 1189 or something like
that. And a lot of these groups roughly occupied land that were, you know, that was, you know, dominated by the Saracens, and they were they were intermixing. You can't be a dick,
basically. Yeah. You can't live there and just, you know, and just because I mean everyday people will
some of them actually converted. I remember
some of them converted. Books, right? But it was all kept hidden from the Catholic Church, which is why you have in 1312 the church went after them.
They don't like
because
secrets.
They got too powerful and they were
don't
secretive.
Like them having more money than them. Either.
That
there they you don't go. Like secrets either.
So the whole thought that, I mean, you got two strains basically to follow. One, you'd have to actually make a link that the ancient Knights Templar became Freemasons.
Right, which they're
in. And that the war between the Saracens and the Knights Templar has continued. And that's some Assassin's Creed shit. So that's all fictional and whatever.
Yep.
And, you know, the other part of that is, you know, you have... You have to understand that they didn't hate one another. Again, the Hashashins, which were the assassins back, that's where the word assassin comes from, is the Hashashins. That was a Muslim group that actually worked with the Templar.
Right.
And there was more infighting between the different Christian orders than there was even the Saracens. And that's why they friggin' lost at Hattin. So, because they, you know, you had Guy de Lusignan or whatever the hell his name was, King Guy.
Yeah, I don't know that name.
Yeah, he was the king, and he was he was a douche. You know,
the French king that came down on the Knights Templar.
He marched his freaking Philip the Fair.
That's Philip, yeah.
No, Guy de Lusignan was the one who marched his entire army into the middle of the desert and thought that was a good idea to fight Saladin, who'd been hanging out by a lake. So now his army was all, you know, and I know we're getting kind of off here, but my point is there was more infighting between the Christian orders than there was even between the Templars and it blows this whole theory out of the water that the Freemasons in Islam, we also have an Islamic order in a sense. You could even make a comparison to the Shriners. You're
talking about the grotto or the
or
shrine.
Or the grotto, like they that's where they kind of draw their ritual.
Yeah.
So that just kind
of. Yeah, there's a lot of Middle Eastern.
Blows your theory out of the water.
So. Middle Eastern pageantry going on in the grotto and the shrine.
So what do you think, Mr. Ken? You think we could put a fork in this one?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't come at it from any other angle, so. I mean, if you still disagree, if you still think that that's a thing, please comment and let us know. Like, we'll.
Yeah.
You know, give us your line of reasoning and we'll tear it asunder.
So you ready? What do you want to do? You want to do stupid or you want to do not so stupid?
Okay. How many do we have left? Two?
Do we have two?
Okay. Stupid or not so stupid.
I mean, the last one is that the Masons are intimately connected with the Illuminati, and we've already proven that we don't need eagle's heads or goat piss or lion skulls.
We can save that one for a second.
That one's pretty, I think we beat that one to death. There's two of them that still remain even after that one.
Let's go semi-stupid. Less stupid. Let's leave the most stupid one for last, I think.
Yes, I think the most stupidest one for last, definitely. If you're watching on YouTube and you're live watching, if anybody want to take a stab at what you think the stupidest one is, I would love to hear it. So let's go less stupid of the two.
Okay, less stupid of the
that two. That some prominent murders involved Freemasons, including the cases of Jack the Ripper, Roberto Calvi, which we know from the P2 Lodge, and John F. Kennedy.
Okay.
How do you pull Kennedy into that?
Well, because you can come up with any conspiracy theory you want surrounding the murder of John F. Kennedy. Like,
were you the second gunman in the grassy knoll? Sure. I mean, you have natural camo. I mean, you're transparent. Yeah, so, I mean,
I guess we'll go with that.
You're like the Predator, right? And Predator, remember, he used to hide in the trees, and all you see was just, whoa.
No,
just
not, out. That, not that translucent. I still wear clothes.
No, but seriously, like, let's go. So we are Jack the Ripper. We've already covered that in a prior episode. If you want to dive into that one,
we don't have to, at it. We don't got to tear that one up.
Roberto Calvi.
Yeah,
I mean, yes and no.
We talked about that too during the P2 episode. Yes, we did. He was found hanging underneath the Blackfriars Bridge with bricks in his pockets, I believe.
Yes. That now, the guy. Again, these guys were quote unquote Masons,
right?
But this lodge was, I don't want to say excommunicated, but they had their charter pulled. They were clandies at this point. So their Grand Lodge had pretty much figured them out.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think the guys that were found culpable of that particular murder were part of the P2 Lodge anyway. I think that there was just like widespread speculation at the time that his enemies in that lodge were the ones who did that, but they weren't Masons. They weren't Masons at that point.
No, at that point they weren't. I mean,
under the charter of the Grand Lodge of England.
I guess conspiracy theorists could be like, well, they were Masons, just because they're not recognized doesn't mean they weren't doing rituals and stuff. That's great. Rituals don't necessarily make the Mason.
And also, if you go around murdering people, at least here in our jurisdiction, you're not going to be a Mason.
So let's be clear about something here. The ritual and being part of a lodge does not make you a Mason.
Correct.
Your conduct and what you hold within you is what makes you a Mason. Yep.
Otherwise, you're just a member. Otherwise, a guy with a dues card.
Yes.
That's not a Mason.
And realistically, your dues card don't mean shit if your lodge gets pulled away. Because you can't attend any other lodge. It's the only lodge you can go to. Yep. So it's no different than having a meeting at your house or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's your clandies.
You're a clandy.
You're a clandy. And once you're a clandy, you are no longer a Mason. Yes, you could still. I mean, there's plenty of clandy lodges. You know, people who can go on Amazon or go to eBay and get the Duncan's monitor, but that's not.
Yeah.
Anybody
could basically
find out
our ritual or as much as they could about it and create their own lodge based on that and wear a little lapel pin with a square and compasses, but that doesn't make you a Mason.
No, and it's also, again, as I said, it's the conduct of a Mason that makes you a Mason. That's what we, adhere to. That's what, when we go out and we act a certain way in public, we act to not bring discredit to the craft or, when we see us as Masons and we're in the square and compass, we want people to know that we're good people. Mm-hmm. Like, so, I mean, realistically, if you're doing shitty stuff, you could be an active member. You could be an active Mason, part of not a clandestine lodge. You could be part of a Grand Lodge, but if you're acting not in accordance with the tenets that we hold,
yeah, we're going to find out.
Are you
not
really
going
amazing?
To be a part of the the craft anymore. And while you're acting that way, you're certainly not, unfortunately, you'd be representing the craft. But,
which is
kind of what happened during the PT thing in Italy. But, we're not. It's definitely not part of some global conspiracy where, like, we're assassinating bankers and stuff like that.
Right, no.
And if it was that one particular circumstance, shady circumstance that's like causing that, that's like the genesis of that conspiracy theory, then that doesn't show like a pattern of behavior. That shows like one person getting killed that had some loose tie to the Masonic institution. It's not what we do.
So we didn't do this during the P2 Lodge, but let's break down the actual murder. Okay. The guy was hung.
Roberto Calvi.
Yes, okay. The guy was hung from the Blackfriar Bridge.
Yep.
Okay. I guess you can tie that to the entered apprentice degree where you have a cable toe about your neck, but that's just kind too...
Of. You could also tie it to pretty much anything else, like people killed each other, executed each other that way.
I mean,
years.
And that the cable tow around your neck is only to yank your ass out of the lodge if you say, yeah, never mind. It's to remove you out of the lodge so you don't give up any secrets.
There's nothing in the ritual about killing you.
No. There's nothing in the ritual about hanging somebody from a friggin' bridge. And two, the bricks in the pocket. We're in Blue Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, I mean, there's one degree that there is bricks.
Okay.
Okay.
Not in any craft that I belong to. Not in any of my appended bodies.
I'm going to get you right here. Yes, you will.
Okay.
All
right. Okay.
But in Blue Lodge.
Right.
Is there any reference to the use of bricks?
Not in any of the ritual that I know.
No. The one degree that there is one, and I'm not going to tell you which degree, there are bricks that you use and you're presenting to an overseer or whatever the hell, right?
I didn't think those were bricks.
Ah, but it's the one brick that was different.
I thought we were talking stones then, but whatever. Okay.
It was stones. Yeah, stone. I mean, but for all intents and purposes, when we're actually walking through the ritual, you're holding a
brick. Oh, okay. Something. Okay. So you're.
Yeah. And then one of them is not like the others.
Right.
So you know which degree I'm talking about, right? Okay. Yep. But my point being is that those stones, bricks, whatever you call them, they're not the focal point of the degree. It's the one that's different than the others was the focal point of the degree.
Yeah, I think their whole point in that was masons use bricks. Like modern-day operative masons use bricks in their trade.
Uh-huh.
And they drew that back to like, okay, masons get it? Like masons, like Freemasons?
Right. And here's just, and that's just a thing. A ritual bases loosely around the building of the temple.
Mm-hmm. There were no bricks.
There were no bricks. Thank you. There's no bricks mentioned in the building of King Solomon's temple. Mm-hmm. They talked about quarrying stone,
marble and
stone, never bricks. So you could say, oh, he had bricks in his pocket. That's a reference. No, maybe it was just to weigh his ass down.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe if he had chunks of granite and... would also be Masonic.
Right. But anyway, so...
A rough ashlar in his pocket or something.
If you want to say that it was done by Masons, fine. But they were Clandys. They weren't part of an actual Grand Lodge.
Yep.
They were already excommunicated, thrown out of the craft for their shitty conduct.
Yeah, and it was one thing. It was like one kind of isolated incident. I mean, if you could trace back, I don't know, high-profile assassinations, like political assassinations and stuff, the world over back to Freemasons, okay, then you might be on to something if it were like three or four incidences.
Right.
This was, I don't know, it's such an outlier.
Right.
Like, show me how that...
So, I mean, that one, I would have to say, would be the only... of the three, Jack the Ripper, it's circumstantial. John F. Kennedy, I got nothing on that one.
I see the Jack the Ripper thing as feasible as the
absolutely
the Blackfriars Bridge thing. I mean, it's just...
But John F. Kennedy is just... That's just...
Yeah, now you're getting way out
there. You're swinging for a baseball in the dark on that one, in my personal opinion. But
I would more likely believe that aliens killed John F. Kennedy than Freemasons, conspiracy.
So you have no idea what the next one is, right?
Is this the one that we talked about?
Oh, yes. Like okay, so I did.
One? Well, you just mentioned it to me.
So this is the stupid one.
Yeah, this is real stupid. I'm all about this, though.
Okay. That humanoid reptiles are behind the secret societies like the Freemasons and the Illuminati.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to read
this. That's the good stuff right
this
there.
This is actually from, it says Time Magazine.
Really? Humanoid aliens.
Content.time.com.
It's got to be like some contributed article. There's no way that was published in Time Magazine.
Conspiracy theories. The reptilian elite. They are among us. Blood-drinking, flesh-eating, shape-shifting, extraterrestrial.
Shape-shifting? I don't think I've ever eaten flesh. I wish I was a freaking shapeshifter.
Reptilian humanoids with only one objective in their cold-blooded little heads, to enslave the human race. They are our leaders, our corporate executives, our beloved Oscar-winning actors, Grammy-winning singers.
Hey, if I were a shapeshifter, I would have enslaved all of you bastards by now. Not for nothing. Like, that's really all it takes.
Wait. Here we go. Ready? Oh, this all ties in right here. This makes perfect sense, and I'll explain why. They were responsible for the Holocaust, the Oklahoma City bombings, and the 9/11 attacks.
Yeah. Probably John F. Kennedy, too. I don't know why they didn't list that. The moon landing.
Oh, I didn't finish yet. No, I'm just joking. And I want to go into this thing, at least according to former BBC sports reporter David Icke. Oh, yes, I've heard of this guy before, who became the poster human for theory in 1998 after publishing his first book, The Biggest Secret, which contained interviews with two Brits who claimed members of the royal family are nothing more than reptilians with crowns. The conspiracy theorist and New Age philosopher who wore only turquoise for a time and insisted on being called Son of Godhead, says these Anunnaki. Oh God!
Should have been making all those episodes about, like, you know, Anunnaki and lost tablets of so forth.
This was not intentional. I just want to throw. But anyway, says that these Anunnaki, the reptiles, have controlled humankind since ancient times. They count amongst their number Queen Elizabeth.
I mean, I'm gonna see that.
George W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, Hillary Clinton,
Bilbo Baggins. You know, he's definitely
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope? That's kind of random. And also Jeff Goldblum.
Fucking tears coming down my eyes. Hillary Clinton, I can see. Encroaching on other conspiracy theories at the territory, Icke even claims that the lizards are behind secret societies like the Freemasons and the Illuminati.
Behind us, or they are us?
In other words, they created us. The lizard people are the ones that created Freemasons and the Illuminati. Oh,
so I wouldn't even know as a Freemason.
Yeah, we're not high enough, apparently, right? That's the battle cry for him. Since earning the dubious title of Paranoid of the Decade in the late 1990s, Icke has written several books on the topic, including his latest work, The David Icke Guide to the Global Conspiracy, while operating his own website, complete with merchandise and advertising.
Oh, I mean,
ding, 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 ding. There you have it, folks.
You can't write these things for
money,
free.
Money, 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 money. He's making money off the shit.
I mean, of course he is.
You can come out with the most outlandish shit sometimes.
I kind of want to read his book. Though,
I mean, Bob Hope, what did that poor guy ever do to anybody? Bob Hope was like, what, one of the sweetest men that ever lived?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that's why.
But
he's trying to ingratiate himself to humanity before he enslaves us all.
So, just a couple of things on this. Number one, my daughter sitting over here, have you ever seen me have a second set of eyelids that go sideways?
We should try a different tack to disprove this.
Yeah, we should definitely try a different tack. Ken, why don't you go up to the camera and stick your eye to the camera?
I mean, I did say that I would take a knife to my hand and prove that I bled, you know, red like the rest of us. But, I mean, I didn't see anything in that article about reptiles not having red blood, so I don't feel like that would disprove anything.
Weld America, thanks for joining. What's up from Indiana? What's going on? Thanks for... He says, Holocaust wasn't Masons. Considered Jewish to Hitler.
Masons were actually part of the the what was this term?
Undesirables.
Yeah. So they were, there was actually, what, 200,000 of them?
They actually
were killed in concentration camps and along with their Jewish brothers.
We actually covered this on one of the episodes where Masons were actually holding lodge in a concentration camp. Secret, obviously, to what was going on, but Masons were also very influential in the resistance.
Yeah,
we covered that a little bit, that there were some Masons that were trying to resist the Nazis and what they were trying to do. So
if you need any other evidence to the contrary, I mean, I think that's pretty freaking definitive.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Love the Hodge twins, by the way. But anyway, I don't even know where to start with this one. I mean, And this is why I was kind of asking you the human anatomy.
That we're reptiles.
And how do we started this episode? And before you even first thing you said when you walked in, you're like, "Hey, what's going on?" I'm like, "Do you know anything about the human anatomy?"
Yeah. Like, how are we going to go about disproving that? We're,
so, I mean, I guess you can
that
say
we're humans
that.
And not reptiles. Yeah, what?
So
one of the stranger things I've been asked recently.
Well, isn't there, like, people have talked about, like, the part of our reptilian brain that makes us freaking, like, angry or nasty or something like that? What is that? The medulla oblongata.
Could be. I think that's
something wrong with Joe's medulla oblongata.
The hind brain, I believe, is referred to as the reptile brain. So, yeah, it would be the all that shit back there. I can't remember what it all is.
Right.
But, yeah, medulla oblongata is back there, so we'll go with that.
I mean... Weld America says, well, that rules out the Freemasons started the Holocaust. We draw our roots. We draw our ritual from Jewish.
Yeah. From the Old Testament.
Building of the temple. Old Testament.
Yeah.
So why the hell would we want to just...
Nah, there's so many reasons why that would be impossible.
I don't know where they come up with this shit. But anyway, let's back on reptiles.
Yeah, we gotta go back to the reptiles. Because it's more believable.
Have anywhere in our ritual ever... I mean, I think it's also kind of funny because I'm watching, you know, again, I'm watching our live stream. I can see it on YouTube on my computer because I'm watching the messages. And we have the join or die flag with the reptile. We have the join or die flag behind us with a giant snake on there. But I promise you that's got nothing to do with
it. We're really not helping ourselves here. I know.
I know. My daughter sandbagged me over here.
You know, I've got the perfect way to disprove this.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Go.
Okay.
Yep, let's do it.
So if you go back.
Wait.
What?
Quickly.
Okay.
Can't reptiles regrow their body parts?
Some can.
Do you have a knife?
Not all. Yeah, no, we're not. Nope.
I've cut it off. I got a second one.
Why don't you hear me out first?
How about a finger then?
Before we start chopping off appendages, I might have a much easier way to go about this. Reptiles,
okay,
and especially those referred to in this well-penned article, are cold-blooded, are they not? They can't generate their own internal body heat.
Correct.
Metabolism. Okay. So if we were to, for example, go out onto a rifle range in the middle of the winter.
Oh, my God. I know where you're going with this.
For several hours, and there was recorded video evidence of these two Freemasons doing this, would we still be here right now?
And they froze
their
asses off.
Or would we be dead reptiles?
Or you could just show them your eyes. Reptiles, like even shapeshifter reptiles would have their eyes still.
Even shapeshifters? Okay. You want me to go stick my eyeball up there?
Stick your eyeball. Go stick your eyeball on the camera. You got this, Ken.
You got this, Ken. You do the commentary.
All right.
Hopefully.
So, Mr. Ken. Mr. Ken in his old man sweater and his Marty McFly jacket are walking up to the camera. And blink a couple times, Ken. Blink. He's blinking his eye. Yep. Nope. No second. That is one ugly grape you got there. But thank you. Let's all give Ken a hand. He went up to the camera. He proved that he doesn't have, what is it, the cat eyes, right? The one slitted eye. Yep. His eye is not one slitted. So. Right.
So I've got a circular pupil.
No. Aren't reptiles also asexual, right? Where they can change from male to female. Am I correct?
That's not what asexual means.
What is it where they can change their...
You can just change sex, spontaneously change sex.
Yeah,
it's like
right?
Some reptiles can do that, not all. It's like some frogs in fucking South Africa or something like that can do that. It's not like every reptile.
It's not every reptile.
No. Ask Jeff Goldblum. He knows.
Why? Why Jeff Goldblum?
Oh, not Jeff Goldblum. He wasn't the one in Jurassic Park that said that. No.
Oh, yes, it was Joe. Yes, it was. Yes, you're right.
I think it was. No, it was. What's his name?
It was Jeff Goldblum.
No.
Wasn't it?
He wasn't the one that discovered or, like, came up on the whole thing about the.
It wasn't the guy who said
that could do it.
Girl, right?
No, it wasn't him. No.
Mauled by the. That was awesome, by the way.
It was Alan Grant.
Alan Grant.
Alan Grant was like. Because he found the eggs out in the forest and whatever. Okay. But yes, it's not every reptile.
Right. It's not every reptile, but there are
not
some though,
right?
Reptile.
I could go and get surgery right now and change sex if I really wanted to, but or change gender. I don't know. I don't even know which.
But that would require surgery. You can't just spontaneously do it, though, right?
No, not to my knowledge.
So your name would be Kenita.
Yeah,
you'd be Spanish. Kendra. There you go.
I'd go with Kendra.
I'd go with Kenita.
Keep it easy.
Sounds exotic.
I don't think that's a good one to try to disprove.
No. And I mean, they also didn't say what kind of reptiles were the, right? So if some of them can change, some of them can't change. Like, what kind of reptiles are we?
Well, it's specifically called out that we are shape-shifting reptiles, right? So we could theoretically turn into whatever we wanted.
Come a chameleon.
Well, shapeshifter to me means like you can turn into whatever you want. I could be a loaf of bread if I wanted to be or something. I don't know.
You know who sang that?
I don't remember. But
Boy George.
Okay.
It's me.
That's you. Cool. Off track.
Said don't sing. Well, it's America said don't sing.
We're going to lose our one listener.
Well, it's America. Don't start that shit.
No, our one active listener on YouTube is what I mean.
He also said my 2-year-old is a reptilian. She worked her finger off in the door and grew it back.
What?
Caught her finger up. Ooh.
I mean, at 2 years old, I guess you can do that. Like, you still got, like, the stem cell thing going on or something.
Yeah, like, you're still growing, right?
Yeah.
Kids are amazing.
That's still terrifying, though.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Oof, God damn.
Yeah, no, well.
But
grossed out.
For our last,
I'm glad she's better though.
Yes, I'm glad she's doing better. And for our last little segment here, Ken's gonna put his hand up on the table, and I'm gonna cut his finger off, and we're gonna prove.
Oh wait, no. I am trusting you like a moron.
I mean, hey, my son's on. Hi, Georgie. He's sitting over here in the corner too, but he's chiming clever. In.
I'm not willing to do that. We did the eye thing. We did the cold-blooded thing.
Even if you say Freemasons aren't reptilians now, it's just the ones who created them.
Oh, okay, then I got nothing.
And I guess, I mean, there are a lot of, so let's really dive down this rabbit hole quickly, and then we're going to shut this down, but let's dive down the rabbit hole, okay? I'm doing the Lost Book of Enki on the special episodes, and again, you can think it's bullshit if you don't. It doesn't matter to me. It's a great story if you listen to it.
I didn't say it was bullshit.
No, I'm saying people who may think that it's bullshit. That's great. Like, it's a great story, though. Yep. It's really cool. If you want to, and again, it's 5,000-year-old text, but some of the statues that they had were actually reptile statues that supposedly recognized, they were the supposed Anunnaki gods.
Okay.
It said that they're depicted as reptiles. Okay. One of the things that they had said when I was reading the Lost Book of Enki, it talks about that they put on a fish's suit, which would be kind of like an astronaut suit. It was their astronaut suit of the time, basically Zechariah Sitchin was trying to say. So they would wear an eagle's helmet, where like when they would travel someplace where they couldn't breathe or the outside atmosphere wasn't okay for them. He basically said that they would don a eagle's helmet and a fish's suit. It's some sort of a
spacesuity thing,
exobody protection in a sense. So that could be what the statues were depicting, those quote unquote fish's suits, if you will. But let's just throw this down. You know, even if the Sumerian gods were reptilian, and like there's so many stories back of the ancient civilizations having mystery schools. So that's kind of where this theory gets drawn from, is that, they were the ones who did it. I mean, the jury's out on that. I'm reading the Lost Book of Enki. It could be 100% true. It could be absolute fictional bullshit.
Okay.
There's no, again, we're talking about, there's just like the Templars, there's no definitive proof.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance. I'm not saying there's a chance. I'm saying that you can come up with any cockamimi, you know, you could be Tom Cruise in Oblivion, you know, just 1,000 Kens come out of a spaceship and ends freaking, you know what I'm saying, though, like.
That'd be cool.
It's.
So you're saying by virtue of not being able to disprove it, there's always going to be some shred of.
I mean, you're coming up with a theory that, here's my problem with this, okay? If you got a theory, okay? You have to be able to come up with a hypothesis and then prove your hypothesis. I mean, this is the basic fundamentals of coming up with a theory, right? Yep. You can't prove a hypothesis if you don't have the evidence that was way back 5,000 years ago. You're speculating.
Yeah, you have a hypothesis.
You have a hypothesis. That's all you got. So, yep. I mean, there's no way to disprove it, but I mean, I can tell you definitively, there's been no lizard people coming into the lodge.
No. And if you're writing books about it and selling merchandise on your website about it,
it also ruins your credibility.
Hey, it's a hypothesis.
Right.
Like you're buying merch for.
Right. You're buying merch. You come up with a theory to make money off of.
Yeah.
Realistically, that's all you're doing. You could even make the same argument for InfoWars.
Yeah.
It created a website. Yeah, you realized it making me money. I'm going to sell some shirts. I'm going to sell some coffee mugs. It's making you money.
Some stickers. To go on the back of your...
You make some YouTube videos that go viral. You're making money off it, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of hard to disprove it, but it's also kind of way the hell out there.
Right. Well, if any of you conspiracy theorists out there want to comment on our YouTube video here and ask George and I to perform something in order to convince you that we're not lizard people...
One last question from Weld. He said, Weld America, he says, is there any way to study the EA book without a mentor? Well, I would first ask, that depends on what your EA book looks like. Is it in plain English or is it in code?
If it's in code, it's designed for you to go and study it with another brother. That's the intent.
Every grand jurisdiction does it differently.
Yep. And it's not a bad thing. Even if it's like in plain English, I'd still recommend going and, you know, sitting with a mentor or sitting with a, you know, whoever the brother is that you know best from your particular lodge and study it with them, because you're going to get a lot more out of it and probably remember it better.
He says it's in code. Yeah. Unfortunately,
that's what it's designed to.
And I would also say, I think that every grand jurisdiction has a different way of coding.
Yeah.
For instance, State of Connecticut, I actually have the old books where they were, what are they called? I always say this wrong.
Mnemonics?
Mnemonics, yes. Yeah. That's how the old code.
They've changed it over time, too, in Connecticut, I think. It used to be like one letter per word or something like that.
Yeah, but now it's completely different. Now it's in complete English once you get the Blue Book. You could even go to Grand Lodge, and I get them both. I get the plain English, and I get the code. And I let...
Oh, really? They have the same edition of the ritual book in both? Well, I didn't know that.
No. I'm talking about the little pamphlets.
Oh, yeah. The degree booklets. Yeah.
The ritual booklets for the...
Yeah, those are always...
Yeah, some of them are coded, and you can actually get the full English ones. And it all depends.
I didn't know that.
I get them both. Because if you have the time to meet with other brothers, go for it.
Yeah.
But if you're like, listen, man, I work second shift. I got no one around. I'm working third shift. I got no one around. I'm not going to be around for anyone to meet up with at night to help me. I'll give you the full English one.
Yeah.
If you got the full English one.
I didn't even know that was an option. We mandated as far as I know. Maybe our secretary has a few of the plain English ones. But usually we always find some brother that's on the same schedule as you know, the candidate or the brother moving through, and we'll find time to work with them. Right. But yeah, that's why they do that, brother. That's why they put them in code like that, is to get you to work with another brother that can help answer your questions.
Absolutely. So what do you say, Ken? We proved that we're not, well, we semi-proved that we weren't reptilians.
I proved it to myself.
I don't have a forked tongue.
I don't have webbed fingers.
No webbed fingers. I tell you,
distinct digits there.
I've never seen Ken with his shoes off, but I guarantee your feet aren't webbed either.
No, my feet are not webbed.
You don't have gills, right? So you can't breathe underwater.
Nope.
I mean, I could try drowning you in the sink if you want. I guess I could put that on YouTube.
That would be murder.
I mean, for instance, he also has a life preserver on. So, I mean, he's got his life preserver jacket on. So, I mean, clearly he doesn't float or he doesn't breathe underwater. But they all float down here, Georgie.
Yeah.
All right.
Witches float.
What do you say, Ken?
Yeah, I don't feel like we totally resolved it, but I think we can wrap it up.
Well, you got something else?
No, I mean, I just
some theories
doesn't mean that I can think of any other way to do it. It's just I don't feel like we put all the nails in that coffin that we should, which is why I was trying to get people to comment on it so that we can maybe do a follow-up episode.
We'll do that. There's so many theories out there. This was just a couple. These are the ones that I found were the stupidest. So
We'll do a little video vignette with, like, you know, our way of disproving each of the points that you bring up in the comments or something. I don't know.
That sounds like a good plan. So for the Freemasons podcast, I'm Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
And Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.